Today's shiur is Masechta Chulin, Daf Tzadik Dalet. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Tzadik Gimel Amid Beis at the bottom of the Amid at the Mishnah. It teaches us the Mishnah. Shleyach Adam Yerach, a person could send an entire thought. Levi Kachavim to Levi Kachavim to, even though the Gira Nasha is Betoichai, even though the Gira Nasha is still there. And we need not be concerned, the Mishnah is teaching us at least at this point, that the Nochri is going to resell it to a Jew, a Chas V'Sholem, that Jew is going to come to eat Kiranasha. Because explains the Mishnah, Neisha Mekoyma Nikar. It's very obvious, suggests the Mishnah, for one to be able to determine if the Kiranasha is there or not. And if he'll see that the Gira Nasha is still there, he'll remove it. But says the Gemara, it seems that our Mishnah is teaching us, Shlema in, that what type of a situation are we allowed to sell to the Nochri? That's only when the Gira Nasha is whole. But if the Nasha is, if the thigh is whole, but Chatucha Loi, but if the thigh is cut into pieces, so then we can't tell. The person who's buying it cannot tell if the gid was removed. And because the person can't tell if the gid is removed, he chas v'sholem may end up eating the gid anoshim. Many rishonim, based on the Gemara actually, and Masech the Psachim, learn from this Mishnah that one is allowed to have hanor from the Giranosha, one could have benefit from the Giranosha. Because the entire concern of our Mishnah and Gemara, as we're going to be learning quite extensively, is that somebody may end up eating the Giranosha accidentally. But the person that is selling the Giranosha to the individual, to the Nochri, he has no problem selling that Gira Nasha. The halacha, however, is that the Gemara over there is not that clear what is the halacha. And there's actually a machloikis rishonim. The opinion of the Rambam is that the Gira Nasha is mutter b'hanom. The opinion of the Rosh, quoting Rabbeinu Yoina, is that his opinion is that the Gira Nasha is also b'hanom. And the Beis Yosef says that the halacha follows the opinions that say that the Gira Nasha is mutter b'hanom. But interestingly, the Zohar says that even though apidin, according to the halacha, the Gira Nasha is mutter b'hanom, the halacha is that one should try not to have any benefits from the Gira Nasha. The Ritva in Masechta Pesachim teaches us that even according to the opinions that hold that we're not allowed to have any enough from the Gira Nasha, as we discussed quite extensively in our previous year, there's a difference between the actual good, and the shamnoi shel gid. And since we learned in our previous year, that the reason we're not allowed to have, we don't eat the shamnoi shel gid, is only a minig. Actually, the Gemara said it's a minig kedoshim, and therefore the halacha is that from the shamnoi shel gid, one is allowed to have hanor. The Rishonim debate if a Yisrael is allowed to ask a Nochri to do something that a Yisrael may not do, but a Nochri may do. And the Gemara Masechta Bava Metzia says that, for example, we know that there's a din of rule of Leisach Mishar B'disha. When an animal is working, we may not muzzle that animal. And the question is, can we ask a Nochri to work with our animal? And while he's working with our animal, he will muzzle the animal. And the Gemara Masechta Bava Metzia says that you may not do that. But some Rishonim suggest, is only usur in a case where the Yisrael will benefit from what the Nochri did. If the Yisrael doesn't have any benefit, then there wouldn't be no problem. Tosfos and the Rosh say differently. They say that whatever we're not allowed to do, we're not allowed to ask a goy to do on our behalf, and therefore we're not allowed to ask a nochri, even if we don't have any benefit, even if we wouldn't have any benefit from what the nochri does. And therefore, they say, the eating, however, giving a nachri, for example, a nevela, that is permitted. But other cases that are not permitted. So I saw that Goras Mordechai asks that the Mishnah tells us, our Mishnah tells us that we're allowed to send to an Akum the Gira Noshim. And the question is, how are we allowed to give him the Gira Noshim if we can't eat it? And the Magen Avraham right away doesn't understand the question. As we've just learned, we're not allowed to give something to a Nachri when we're going to benefit. But if we're giving it to him and that benefiting, why should be usher? So yes, we may be, as we discussed a moment ago, maybe not allowed to sell the Gira Nosha to Nachri, because as we learned, the Gira Nosha may be usher by no, but to give it to a Nachri, the should be permissible. So the Magen Avraham suggests that if a Jew gives the Nachri the Gira Nosha, the halacha is that the Jew is also benefiting. He would have never have given it to him if he didn't have any benefit. And in fact, the Goras Mordechai says that the giving the Gira Nosha to a Nachri is not problematic because it's clear that the Nachri is enjoying it. The Rav Akiva Eiger has a whole new approach to this question. Kivega's approach is that when the Gemara says that we're not allowed to ask a Nachri to do something that we're not allowed to do, that's only something that involves doing something. But here we're speaking about eating something that we're not allowed to eat. So he says that the reason we're not allowed to ask a Nachri to do something is because it's in the category of Shlichus, when the Nachri is doing something that we're not allowed to do, and he's doing it on our behalf. Eating, and he says Arayis is the same, is not considered a shlichus. It's something that the Nachri enjoys. And therefore, since it's something the Nachri enjoys, so therefore the halacha is we could be more lenient and allowing to give, or under the circumstances where it's permitted, to sell something like that, to give something like that to a Nachri. So now the Gemara delves in. The Gemara said that we could give a Nachri or sell a Nachri a whole thigh, because then it will be noticeable if the git is there, or it's obvious that the git is still there because it hasn't been touched. But a cut-up thigh, we may not. So now the Gemara drills down. But my skin, exactly what is the case that we are discussing? Says the Gemara, Ilema, B'makim Shei Machrizim, if we are speaking about a place that they don't make an announcement, as we're going to be learning very significantly in our current shir, that there were places that on the day that they found the treifa in the slaughterhouse, that if it's a place where they never make that type of announcement, that the meat, that there was a treifa today and was selling it to the Nachri, so therefore the Jews may never buy a meat from a Nachri, because we are concerned that maybe there was a treifa in the store today, and there was a treifa in the slaughterhouse, and that's what they sold and gave to the Nachri. And by us buying it now from him, we're buying something that's clearly osatos. And therefore, if that's the case, that we never end up buying meat from a Nachri for that reason, if that's the case, then chatucha nami, that even a piece of meat that was cut up should be mutter to sell to him, send to a guy, lishdalei, to oslam ismenei, we're never going to be buying it from him. So the way, there's a number of approaches to this entire discussion. The Ramban says that even though most meat in those days was sold by Jewish butchers, and most meat is kosher, still the Ramban says that we have no right to rely on that type of a roiv. And I think that Pshat and the Ramban is, number one, there's a significant meat that is not kosher, and number two, it's a roiv that we could verify, so we can't just rely on roiv. Others say that it's a takana, that maybe one can make an argument, say those Rishonim, that the statistically the meat is certainly kosher meat. But Chazal made a new rule that we're never allowed to buy meat that from a nochri in a place where there's no announcement that is normally made. The Rashba says that even in a place where we're not allowed to buy meat from a nochri, because either it's a place like we just described, that they don't make announcement when they have non-kosher meat, or if they do make the announcement, and today they actually made an announcement that we had no kosher meat. However, if we have a situation based on what we're learning now, based on the Rashba says and what the Ramban approaches the sugya with, that there's a roiv, and a very strong roiv, that the meat is kosher, so we could rely on that if there's a mix up and some of the meat from the nochri in such a town fell amongst kosher meat. Ella, how must we explain the Mishnah? We have to explain that the Mishnah is talking about the makom shemechrizim. That whenever there's non-kosher meat, it's announced that there was no kosher meat, and it was sold to the nochri, and therefore we know not to buy from the nochri on that day. On a day when such an announcement was not made, then the halacha will be that one may be allowed to buy meat from a nochri. Because what are we going to be concerned? Explained the Rishonim. As we just said, the Mishnah and the Gemara are assuming that we're speaking about a town that all the people who slaughtered meat were shaykhtim, were Jews. To be concerned that this meat is a treifa, we don't have to be concerned that it's a treifa because there was no announcement made today that there's any treifa meat. So since we're allowed to buy on such a day meat from a nachri, so therefore, says the Mishnah, only a whole thigh of the we're allowed to buy from the nachri, then because there it's obvious that the gid was not removed. But if the thigh is not whole, we have to be concerned that the Jew is going to be is going to think that the gid hanasha was removed, and it wasn't. But ask the Gemara, if that's the case, if our Mishnah is speaking about that this is a place where they normally make an announcement, but today was a day when no announcement was made, so then the halacha ought to be shleima namila lishdalei. We should never be allowed to sell a whole thigh to the nachri, even though it's noticeable that the gid was not taken out, because why do we need to be concerned? We have to be concerned that the nochri is going to go and cut it up, and now the Jew comes and he makes the following, and he thinks the following. We know that the meat is not treif, because there was no meat, there was no announcement today that this treif of meat. And since it's cut up, he'll assume that if it's whole, we have to be concerned that the nochri is going to cut it up, and this Jew is going to buy it, and he's going to think that I could buy anything today from the nochri because there was no announcement about tray for meat. And Ritva takes a very interesting approach. His approach is that we're not worried that the nochri is doing this deliberately to try to trick a Jew and sell a meat that the gid wasn't removed. The nochri is a butcher or whatever, or a storekeeper, and he's trying to sell meat. And he knows that by selling the meat cut up, there are more people that are interested in selling meat than selling buying cut up meat than a whole piece of meat. And therefore, as the Rishonim all explained this Gemara, the Gemara's assumption is completely based on we're not assuming that the Nachri is trying to trick a Jew. Ebay Seima, so says the Gemara, we're going to have to explain that the Mishnah is speaking about Mokum Shechrizim, that they make an announcement that there was treifa in the butcher shop. And Vibai in the slaughterhouse, Gemara is going to explain both of these answers. Vibai Seima, another way of being able to explain the Mishnah is by saying, that the Mishnah is speaking about a place where where no such announcement was made. And the Gemara explains, we can explain that the Mishnah is speaking about a place where such announcements are made, and therefore you're allowed to buy meat normally from a nachri if no announcement was made to them, because, and therefore you're not allowed to sell or give to a nachri a cut up thigh with the git in it, because we have to be concerned that he may sell it to the Yisrael, and the Yisrael will think that the meat that the nachri received from the kosher slaughterhouse had the git already removed. But if it's a whole thigh, so it's obvious that the git wasn't removed, we have nothing to worry about. As the Gemara just asked, why should we not be concerned that maybe the nachri, and as we keep on repeating, even without any bad intention, will just cut up that thigh? Says the Gemara, Chetucha Daiv Dechavim Meidi Yediyah. The halacha is that the nachri cuts up the meat differently than Jews cut up the meat. And the way I saw that the Rishonim explained this Gemara, doesn't mean that they cut up meat differently than we do. Because when we cut up a piece of meat that has in it the Gid Anasha, we have to make sure that the Gid Anasha is removed. And by removing the Gid Anasha, there's a certain cut or a certain way that we're going to have to be careful to be able to cut. However, in a place where the Nochri, who's not accustomed to removing the good, so the way that they cut the meat is entirely different from the way we cut the meat, and it'll be obvious. From here we see, says Rashi, that one of the simonim, and this is going to be a very important part of our coming shiurim, how can we rely and know that a piece of meat is kosher? So Rashi says, based on this Gemara, that the way a Jew cuts the meat is different than the way a Nochri cuts the meat, and that's considered a valid simon to know that it's kosher meat. And therefore, says the Rashba, that similarly, a Hebrew letter, which a Nochri doesn't write Hebrew, and Yisraelim write Hebrew, could also be a simon. Of course, the Rashba himself questions that, because even though Nochrim don't normally write Hebrew, but they can learn how to do it, and therefore, why would it be a valid simon? And because of that, the Rashba suggests that if we're going to rely on a letter of the Alabes, the only way we should rely on that letter, we shouldn't rely just on one letter of the Alabes, we should rely on two letters of the Alabes. Of course, the question becomes even more difficult when we have simonim that are just pre-printed kosher symbols. How can we rely on them? So the Paiskim say that, A, once Chazal determined that it's a valid simon, that's all we have to know. We have to do what Chazal said. That's one point. The other point that I saw that the Paiskim suggest, that since these symbols are trademarked and copyrighted, so a Nachri who's going to misuse a symbol is in deep legal trouble. So that's the equivalent, that makes a mirsis, and that's the equivalent of a simon. Vibay Sema, another way of explaining the Mishnah, that our Mishnah is indeed speaking about a makom she'emach reason. They don't make any announcement. So if that's the case, why should we not be able to, they don't make announcements, and because they don't make announcements, we may never buy meat from a Nachri. So if that's the case, why can't we send to the Nachri any type of meat? Answers the Gemara, Gzeir Shem Yitnana B'fnei Yisrael Acham. There's going to be one Jew observing how this another Jew gave the Nachri this meat. And therefore, the people who see the Nachri receiving the meat, even though normally we don't buy meat from a Nachri, here the point that was going to say that this was obviously kosher meat, and therefore, since it's obvious kosher meat, people are going to come to eat it. So if it's a whole thigh, we don't have to be so concerned. If it's not a whole thigh, so therefore, the Yisrael is going to think that not only was this meat given to the Nachri, but it was given to the Nachri already with the gid removed. And therefore, we are now allowed to, we just should never give meat to the Nochri, this type of meat. Bibai Seima, and then the Gemara offers another way of explaining the Mishnah. Mishun the Kagan of Leiladate. What happens that, what the Mishnah is concerned, our Mishnah is talking about a place that we don't make an announcement. So if that's the case, why can't we buy, why can't we send the Nochri meat? Because there's a new concern. And that's the concern, Mishum Kagan of Leidate. We're not allowed to fool the guy. The guy sees that the Yisrael gave him meat. And he's convinced that the meat that the Yisrael probably gave him must be kosher meat. Because what else is Yisrael giving him? And that isn't true, because he didn't give him kosher meat. And Amar Shmuel, and Shmuel teaches us a new halacha that also lignos Das Abrius, we're not allowed to fool anybody. We have to even be careful about a Nochri. Sefer Chassidim says in Siman Nun Aleph, also Lignav Das Abrius, we're not allowed to fool anybody. And he goes into explaining different examples that people think, speak in front of a Nochri in a different language that the Nochri doesn't understand. And the Nochri thinks that they're saying nice things to him or about him. And therefore, says the Sefer Chassidim, one has to be careful not to do that. The Stei Chemed says that if a Nochri approaches a Jew, approaches a rabbi, and asks for a bracha, and the person gives him a bracha, but he says it in a language that the Nochri doesn't understand, and he really is saying something which is not a bracha, that is Usr. But there's a very interesting vart from the Bnei Yisachar in the Sefer Agra de Para, He says that sometimes we speak to people, but our words are really couched in the, our words are really couched as a tefillah. And that we're always supposed to be thinking and being mispalel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, in such a case, that is not considered Geneva Stas. And Ritva asks, we're going to learn in the Gemara that a Braisa on this Amid that teaches us a Meichan Develas for Trefus Lanochri, Neshimateu. We're not allowed to sell these types of non kosher food to a Nochri who thinks it's kosher because we're fooling him. So, what's Shmuel coming to teach us that isn't an explicit braisa? So Ritva answers that if we only had that braisa, we would think that it's only in a case where it involves selling, but in a case where we're giving a gift. So the Nochri is not so much being fooled. I'm giving something to the Nochri, I'm giving it to him for free. So therefore, what's the difference? What he thinks teaches us Shmuel that is Osir as well. The Ritva says that, and Torah says, loy signoivu, that this Isser is applicable even Geneva Stas is Osir, Geneva Stas is an Isser Deraisa. And Ritva says that what Shmuel is teaching us is that not only is Geneva Stas Osir, but Geneva Stas is an Isser Deraisa even by a Nochri. There are others that say that Geneva Stas by a Nochri is only an Isser Derabonim. Says the Gemara, for Hadash Shmuel, this that we just learned from Shmuel, says the Gemara, Laba Feresh Itma, was not said explicitly by Shmuel Abu Chol Itma. We learned it from something that, from an episode that happened with Shmuel. Because says the Gemara, Shmuel Abu Chol Avra B'Mabra, Shmuel was traveling over the river on a boat, Amalei L'Shamai, and he told his assistant, Paisa L'Mubare, give him, pay him, Paisa V'Ikbed, and the assistant gave him money, but he did not give the amount that the Nochri was supposed to receive, as the Gemara is going to explain, and he was upset for Geneva Stas. And the Gemara explains immediately, my tami ikbet, why was he upset? Amar bai tanagolos trefa hava, he gave him a non-kosher chicken, v'yav nale b'mar d'shluta, he gave it to him, b'mar with chazaka of shchuta. So there's a number of explanations of the word the Rashi gives for the word mar. One explanation Rashi gives for the word mar, it was b'cheskas. He gave it to him with chazaka that it's kosher. Another explanation Rashi suggests is that the Jew gave the Nachri a non-kosher chicken, and he extracted from the Nachri a kosher chicken. The Nachri thought he was getting a kosher chicken, but he wasn't really getting a kosher chicken. Rav Amar, Amka Amar Lishkuye. What happened was that Shmuel told his assistant to give him some wine, and Ashke Chamer Meziga, he thought he's getting undiluted wine, and he really got diluted wine, which again involved Geneva Stas. Ask the Gemara, so what we just learned here is that this wasn't something that was taught by Shmuel explicitly, but it was something that we learned from this story. And the Gemara seems to be saying, and that's the Gemara's question, that if it's not explicit, maybe it isn't that clear that it's Osir. And why? Says the Gemara, Lamanda Matrefa Havai, according to the opinion that said that the reason was Shmuel was upset because it was a treifa and the guy thought it was kosher, Amalei Mai Tisha Esurei. That means Shmuel was upset that why were you holding on to non-kosher chicken until you had this opportunity? According to the opinion that he said that he gave, told him to give wine and he gave him diluted wine, says the Gemara, it means that the deal between the person who was driving the boat and them was that they're going to give him undiluted wine. And here, when you gave him diluted wine, so it's not just a question of Geneva Stas. It's a question of real Geneva. If I pay less than I'm supposed to pay for an object, that isn't called Geneva Stas. That's called Geneva. Tanya says the Gemara Hayramea Omer, Ayasarav Adam Lechaveroi, a person should not ask a friend to eat by him, when he knows that this person's not going to eat, he never goes to eat somebody else. So the Sma makes a very important point. He says that the Gemara uses the word lo yisarev. That means you shouldn't keep on asking him to eat by you when you know that he won't eat by you. But says the Sma, in a situation where it's not that way, where you're just asking him once, says the Sma, that's perfectly acceptable. Because asking him once is showing that you want to give him respect. And therefore, showing him that you want to give him respect and invite him, even though you know he's going to decline, is not considered Geneva Stas. Furthermore, says the Shulchan Aruch Rav, the Gemara only is speaking about a case where I know that under no circumstances he will eat by me. But if one thinks that under certain circumstances he may come to eat by me, then I'm allowed to do so. And therefore, from here we learn, the Paiskim suggest, that we're allowed to invite somebody to eat, that we're allowed to invite somebody, we're allowed to send an invitation. Let's say I know I'm making a Simcha Baruch Hashem, and I'm sending out an invitation, and the person to whom I'm sending the invitation, I know certainly won't come. He lives overseas. Rachmon Utzlon, he's an Oval. So I know he's certainly not coming. Still, one could send him an invitation because I'm showing that I'm thinking about you. And that's enough of a reason that I could send him an invitation. Then the Gemara gives another example. Don't try to give somebody a gift. Don't give him a gift when you know he's not going to take a gift under any circumstances. Again, that is considered Geneva Stas. Furthermore, when they used to sell wine, it was very typical that when they sold the wine, they let the customer, that they would not quickly open up a new barrel. Somebody who opens up a new barrel is really showing to his guest that I very much respect you and appreciate you, and for that reason, I'm opening up a new barrel. What happened here was that this person had already sold the barrel to the store. Since he had already sold the barrel to the store, he wasn't concerned about selling the barrel to opening it up for this person because it was already sold and it's not getting ruined by being opened. But this person who sees me opening up the barrel says to himself, wow, look how much he appreciates me, and that's called Gneivas Das. Another example, a person is not allowed to take a pitcher of oil and tell somebody who normally won't smear himself that with oil that, look, I'm giving you oil to smear yourself, when he knows that he's not going to smear himself anyway. However, again, as we've been saying, if you're doing it because you want to show the respect you have to this guest, then it's mutter. Ask them where any. For Ula Ikla Be'er Yehuda, Ula came to the home of Yehuda, and Pasle Chavis Mekuris Lechevani, and he opened up a barrel of wine that was already sold to Nachri, to the storekeeper, without notifying Rabbi Yehuda. Answers the Gemara, that's not what happened. Actually, Odeya Odeya, he did notify him. Vibay Seima, Shani Ula, the Chalav Rabbi Yehuda. Ula and Rabbi Yehuda had a very special relationship. So it happened to be that in this case, he had sold the barrel, and therefore he wasn't doing such a big deal by opening up a new barrel. But even if he hadn't sold the barrel, his relationship with Rabbi Yehuda was the Petuchim Aftechle. He would have opened it for him. And therefore, even though it wasn't the case, he doesn't have to let him know. Again, here the Gemara says we're not allowed to ask him to smear himself with wine, with oil, and making him feel that the barrel is full. But if he doesn't do it that way, just because I'm asking him to do it, the halacha is that would be permitted, because it's not considered that I'm doing Gneivas Das. I saw a very interesting question. There is a person who works as a driver for a company. The Chashukei Chem discusses this question. He works as a driver for a company, and he makes deliveries to shops, to places in the city, and where he leaves over the when he needs to park his car, his truck, there is no legal parking, and he sometimes calls his employer, and he says there's no legal parking, and his employer will tell him, park illegally, and if it involves that you get a ticket, that's okay, I'll pay for the ticket. And he discusses this shaila where somebody, the driver, parked illegally without having called the employer first for permission, indeed got a ticket, and now he calls the employer and says, there's no parking, could I park illegally? And the employer tells him, yes, you may. And then it turns out that, and now he comes to collect the ticket, but his employer caught him. And the employer saw the time that the ticket was issued, and the employer sees that he called him at 11 o'clock, but he sees that the ticket was issued at 10 o'clock. And the question is, can the employer say, you fooled me? So certainly that it's something that one should not do. He goes into a description of the way the Chofetz Chaim live, that a person is given abilities and bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we're not supposed to abuse it. He tells us a credible story of the Chofetz Chaim, that the Chofetz Chaim was once traveling in a wagon driven by somebody, and he went off the wagon, and the driver drove away. And then the Chofetz Chaim was supposed to go to the city where that driver lived to sell his farm. But he knew that the driver is going to walk into shul and he's going to see that it was the Chofetz Chaim who he had treated this way. And it will be very embarrassing to him. And that's why the Chofetz Chaim skipped selling his farm in that city. But not everybody is a Chofetz Chaim. So as far as this question is concerned, the Chashukei Chemet says there's room for leniency. And the reason the Chashukei Chemed takes a has room for leniency, because if the worker knows from past experience that the employer is always going to tell him park illegally if that's what you have to do, he could have relied on this. But then he discusses another most interesting question. There was a father of a girl, the name of a boy was mentioned to him. And the father didn't really know who to ask. And he called the yeshiva and called the public phone in the yeshiva. And the person who answered the public phone happens to be that boy. And the father asked the boy, do you know this boy? He gives him his name. And it's really he himself. And he tells him, in my opinion, he's the best you could find. He's a Talmud Chacham, and he's a Baal Midas. He asks him, does he come to davening? He says, all I can tell you is that every time I come to shul, every time I come to davening, I find him there. And now, they, based on this, the boy met the girl, and they got married, and got engaged. And the person, now this boy is starting to feel very bad, because we're learning in our Gemara that he should not, that the seriousness of Geneva Stas. But the question is, should he, so what's the tshuva should he do? He says that from now on, this person should A, of course, accept upon himself never to do an act which represents Geneva Stas. Number two, he says that everything he said about himself, now he has to do. So if he left an impression that he always comes to daven on time and b'minyan, so from now on, he has to be careful to indeed do that. And if he behaves that way moving forward, Chashuk Echem tells him, you don't have to tell and break the shidduch. Tana Abonim says the Gemara further, a person should not go to Nichem Avelim, but Yodim Lagen and Mekashkesh. He comes with they used to bring food to the homes of Avelim, and he shouldn't bring a barrel of wine, a pitcher of wine, because, again, he's fooling the Avel. The Avel thinks that he's coming with a whole pitcher of wine, and really it's empty. Moreover, lo yemen mayim neisha seyu. Again, he brings a pitcher of water. He knows that the Avel is not going to be drinking or not paying attention. Rachman Tzlan is an Avel. V'm yesh sham chavir, but if there are many people, and he just wants to bring the many people coming to be Menachem Avel. And by this person bringing this pitcher of wine, he's going to make that the people say, wow, this person must be an important person, that this person brought a whole pitcher of wine. So making the Avel feel good, then it's mutter. Another explanation that Marshall suggests, that the person coming is a Talmud Chacham. And if the person who's coming is a Talmud Chacham, the Avel is going to say that not only did this Talmud Chacham come to visit me, but the Talmud Chacham went out of his way and brought this wine. So even though it's not what should be done, there's room for leniency. Tana Bonam, furthermore, Layim Kodam al Chaver Sandal Shel Mesa, somebody should not sell somebody else's shoes from an animal that died. Bechlal Shalchai Shkuta, with giving the person to whom he sold it the misimpression that it was from an animal that was slaughtered. Bnei Shnei Dvarim. Echa Bnei Shemaseyu, because they didn't want to use leather from an animal that was a sick animal. So here, he is fooling him. He thinks that it's from a healthy animal, it was really from a sick animal. And number two, because that indeed happened, that this animal died because of a disease, it's a sakana. So the Mashah asks, why isn't this considered a situation of Geneva, not just Geneva Stas? So the Mashah answers, he's not selling, obviously there was a more expensive, the shoes from an animal that died, that was slaughtered, were more expensive than the shoes that were from not that type of leather, but he didn't lie, and he didn't cheat, he gave them at that price. Or Others say you gave it to him as a gift. If you give it to him as a gift, it's also not a problem. And indeed, that's what the Gemara says. Don't send a barrel of wine, we have oil on the top of it. Again, because people are going to think that it's wine when it's really not. And again, the Mashah says that we're obviously speaking about a case where it's not, where he didn't sell it, because if he was selling it, it would be a real act of Geneva. He just gave it as a gift, but it's based on a lie. Somebody brought a whole barrel of wine, and the person who received it was sure it was full of wine. And now, now when they came in and he discovered what it was, because he was so embarrassed. Furthermore, says the Gemara, one may not guest, may not give something that was given to them to the family members of his host, unless they got permission from the host. And indeed, says the Gemara, somebody invited three guests in a time where there was a hunger, and the host only had three eggs. And the son of the host came, and the guest gave the son of the host the egg. So did the second guest and the third guest. And the host, the father of this child, the host, came, that the child was holding one egg in his hand, in his mouth, and the other two in his hand. He got so upset, when the mother saw what happened here, she committed suicide. And then after he saw what happened, from this we see three innocent people died because of this story. It says, what is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov coming to teach us anymore? The cooler Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that this entire halacha was stated by Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. And the reason it's stated that way is because Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is somebody who is, what he said was kav. He didn't say much with Naki, but it was very acceptable. And this question, how do we look at something that I'm being served as a guest in somebody's home, is a very, very important question. And many, and the Sfasemis talks about it, and others. Because if we're going to say that I, as a guest, am being served something, I'm being served with the understanding that I'm going to eat the food, but it's not mine, and I can't give it away. So now the question is, we know that by Sukkos, the Torah says regarding the Dal Aminim, v'lekachtem lechem, that you have to have ownership, on the Dal Aminim. So now the question is, by Pesach, we always learn the halacha of matzah from the halacha of v'lekachtem lechem, that you have to own the matzah. So what's going to be the halacha if somebody has guests at their home for the Seder? And they, of course, want to be mekayim the mitzvah matzah. And as we're saying now, the proper way of being mekayim that mitzvah is lochem, the matzah should belong to you. But if we're now saying that food that I am served at the table as a guest doesn't become mine, so how could I fulfill the mitzvah? And because of that, the Sfas Emes suggests that one who has guests coming to his home for the Seder, if it's your family members that live by you, so then it's not a question. But if they are guests who are joining you for the Seder, you should be matnah to them, give them ownership in the matzah. And that is another issue. If you're going to do that, you shouldn't do it on Yontif, because on Yontif, on Pesach, we're not allowed to make a kinyan. And therefore, you should do it before Pesach, give them a kinyan in the matzah. Continues the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, going back to what we've been discussing in our Mishnah. Shleich yarech l'chaver shleima. If somebody sends a whole thigh, ein tzarich shitul mena gedanasha, he doesn't have to remove the gedanasha because it's well understood that the gedanasha is still there. U'ba'ev k'chavim, bein chatucha u'bein shleima, ein tzarich little menegaranosha. And when you're selling it to a nachri, you don't have to, you could sell him whatever you want. And Rashi points out that this brisa is different than the Mishnah, because the Mishnah said if you sell him a whole thigh, give him a whole thigh, you have to take out the gitter, you don't have to take out the gitter nasha. And here it says that even when you send him a yerech chatucha, you don't have to take, but a chatucha, the Mishnah says, you do have to take out the whole thigh. And here we're learning that even a chatucha, you don't have to take out the whole, you don't have to take out the whole thigh. Says the Gemara, there are two reasons we may not sell non-kosher meat to a nachri. One is Meneshim Seyu, you're fooling him. He thinks it's kosher when it's really not. And we have to be concerned that he may sell that meat as kosher to a Jew when it's not. Furthermore, a nachri should not be asked to buy meat on our behalf. Maybe they're going to not, they buy the meat and they're not going to pay, and you're causing that this storekeeper, person who sells the meat, will be cheated. We're concerned that the seller is going to sell them non-kosher meat. So now the Gemara delves into this brisa. Amar, no matter what you're selling to him, you don't have to take out the gira nosha. Ask the Gemara, Mamaiskin, if it's a place where we announce when there's a trefa, and on a day we don't make that announcement, you could buy from a nachri meat. So the question is, chatucha may ain't tzarach litl menegir anosha. If I sell him the meat that's already cut up, why must I not take out the gir anosha? If it's a day, the light echris, that they didn't make an announcement, so it's a day that Yisraelim will buy meat from the nachri, and now we have a concern that also limizmimenei, that he's going to buy that meat from the nachri, assuming that the gir anosha was removed, and it wasn't. El Pshita explains the Gemara. We're speaking about a Makom Shem Machrizim. And if it's a Makom Shem Machrizim, we never buy meat from a Nachri in such a place, so we don't have to be concerned about any type of a mix-up. So continues the Gemara, Eimer Mitzyasa. Let's learn the next thing in the Baisa. They're not allowed to sell Nevelis and Trefis to a Nachri. Echad Menei Shemateu. One, because he's fooling him. And number two is the Echad Shemayachsvi Mekrenel Yisrael Acher, he may sell it to another Jew. But ask the Gemara if we're saying that this price is speaking about a place, that a machrizim, so Jews don't buy meat from a nachri. So therefore, halayasa lemizmimnei. So we don't have to be concerned that the Jew may end up buying this meat. So how must we explain that the Brice is speaking about? Makom Shechrizim, that Jews do buy meat from the Nachrim, because we make an announcement when there was tray for meat. Continues the Gemara, Eimer Sefer, the next din of the Mishnah, of the Brice. The next din was, L'yamah Adam Lev Kacham Kachli B'den Azeb, Basar, one should not ask a Nachri to buy meat on his behalf. Ask them, if it's place where announcements are made, Yesa, to have a trefa, if there was a trefa that day, have a machruzim machri. So we would know that it's very possible that the nachri got the not kosher meat. Elo, it's a place where we don't make the announcement. So now, ask the Gemara, the way we just finished explaining this brisa, it turns out that the way to understand the ratio and the late sefer, the first din and the last din, we have to explain that the Brice is speaking about a place where they don't make announcements, and that's why we never buy meat from a nachri. And Mitzios is speaking about a place where machrizim, and we may end up buying meat from the nachri. Says Abaya, in. I have no other option but to explain the Brice that way, that the Reish v'Seif is b'mokv sh'ei machrizim, and Mitzios is speaking about a mokv sh'ei machrizim. Rav Amar, Rava says no, because obviously that represents a real inconsistency. The whole price is speaking of machrizim. So Meresha V'Seif is talking about achrizim. It's a place that they announce, and they announced today that there was a trefa, and therefore we could send them any meat, because we're not buying meat. We could send them any type of meat. Nobody's buying meat from the nachri that day. And also, we're not allowed to ask Yisrael to buy meat from the butcher because he's going to give him the nevelis and the treifas, and that could lead to a problem. Metziosa is talking about shaloyach rizu, that didn't make an announcement, and therefore we're not allowed to sell to the meat because you may come to buy it. Rav Asher Mekulam Makom Shem Mechrizen. The entire Brisa is speaking about a case where they don't make announcements, and therefore we can never buy meat from the Nachrim. And Metziosa, that we are saying that we may in the middle case where the Brisa says that we're now allowed to sell Nevelos and Trefus for Ivy Kachavim, why not? Nobody's going to buy them. There's a new concern that we discussed earlier in our shir, Gzereshem Yekaran B'fnei Yisrael, that yes, people don't normally buy meat from a Nachri. Here, however, they saw the Yisrael sell the meat to the Nachri, and that's a reason that people may mistakenly believe that that meat is kosher. Heichmach reason. So we've been learning throughout a shir about making an announcement. What is the announcement? Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Nofer Bislof Nechela. We have meat that is good for Nachrim. For Neiva Nefret for Fasla Nechela. Why are we not more explicit and call the meat treif? Says Mar, because Loizavni, people don't buy treif meat. Says the Gemara, from a Kamatalu, by telling him this way, where it's not clear that it's not kosher, so why again is this not a violation of Geneva Stas? And says the Gemara, we didn't say anything dishonest. And if they think it's kosher when it's really not, inu de kamata nafshayu, it's their mistake, it's not our mistake. Kihar de Rabbi Mizutra Breda of Nachman, have a causal misikrul abe mechuza. They were traveling from Sikrul to mechuza. The Rabbi Rav Nachman, Rav Saf Rav Kaasu, they were traveling in opposite directions. And now, Poga Dodi, they met each other. Who saw the Gosai? Mazutra thought they were coming out to greet him. Amu Lamlai Rabbanan, Tark Fasa Kula Hai. Why did you have to bother? Amu Safra, Ana Halo Avi Adin in the Gosai Mar. We didn't actually know you were coming because we don't want to fool you. And moreover, he said, Iavi Adinan. And if we wouldn't have known, not only would we come out to greet you, but actually we would have even done more for you. Why did you say this? Why was it necessary for you to say this? Here he was feeling so great that you were coming to greet him, and now you caused him anguish that he doesn't have that great feeling. I didn't want to fool him, says the Gemara. But why did he feel that it wasn't wrong? Because he didn't say anything. He didn't have to say anything. He'll have the wrong impression. That's iud kamata nafshayu. That's something that he did, and that doesn't represent Geneva Stas.